stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. The co-founder and chief executive of Twitter had his own account on the service briefly taken over by hackers. Microsoft has announced that it's bringing its XFAT file system support to the Linux kernel and the licensing the contributed code under GPL version 2. The rash of ransomware infiltration continues with 13 new victims, most of them schools. And a watchdog has penalized a local authority for trialing facial recognition on high school students in Sweden to keep track of their attendance. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Category5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Sasha Rickman, and here are the top stories we're following this week. The co-founder and chief executive of Twitter had his own account on the service briefly taken over by hackers. A group referring to itself as the Chuckling Squad said that it was behind the breach of Jack Dorsey's account. The profile, which has more than 4 million followers, tweeted out a flurry of highly offensive and racist remarks for about 15 minutes. Twitter says its own systems were not compromised. Instead, they blame an unnamed phone service provider, saying, quote, "The phone number associated with the account was compromised due to a security oversight by the mobile provider. This allowed an unauthorized person to compose and send tweets via text message from the phone number. That issue is now resolved," end quote. A source at the company confirmed that the hacker had used a technique known as SIM swapping or SIM jacking in order to control Mr. Dorsey's account. This isn't the first SIM swapping account we've reported on. You may remember several months ago when we talked about how an AT&T allowed an attacker to steal Bitcoin. SIM swapping itself is most often a social engineering attack on its onset. It allows an existing phone number, in this case one associated with Mr. Dorsey's account, to be transferred to a new SIM card. It's usually after the attackers trick or bribe customer support staff at a mobile provider to make the switch. In this case, by taking control of the number, the attackers were able to post tweets via text message directly onto Mr. Dorsey's Twitter account. While the security lapse appears to have happened outside the company, it is still an embarrassing incident for Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get that it's kind of an embarrassing thing for Twitter, but at the same time, it's not their fault.
So they say.
Well, no, but I mean, SIM hacking is...
I'm like, okay, well, that was some good brandy. And
no, but I mean, like, it does happen. I mean, at the end of the day, that is a vulnerability within the cell phone system. I mean, and it does happen all the time.
We may not realize that.
Should we just assume that everybody who tweets obnoxiously unrealistic and ridiculous tweets probably have been SIM swapped? And they're not actually speaking on their own?
No.
Not that we're pointing any fingers. Not that we're pointing any fingers.
No, but I mean, like, as a company like Twitter, how do you protect against something like that? The only way you...
You'd have to turn off SMS messaging.
Well, but not only that, is maybe something built into the account where it's like, oh, we're detecting suddenly a change in your IP address. Like, I don't know.
It's not really possible, though, is it, Jeff?
But if you're switching to a different phone, you'd have a different IP.
Yeah, but you'd have a different IP if you traveled from this end of Barrie to the other end of Barrie.
But if you're on a different using tower. A cell phone that's not connected to Wi-Fi, you still have your IP.
But this is SMS.
Yeah, okay,
so
fair enough.
But let's rule out IP addressing. Yeah. So not really the issue because it's not internet-based, so it's not
internet
protocol, right?
So you just have to just never let your phone out of your sight.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It wasn't out of his sight. So here's the thing. Somebody knew Mr. Dorsey's phone number.
Right.
So was this an inside job? If I wanted to hack his account, I don't know his personal cell phone number. Do you?
It's probably not that hard.
This is the co-founder of Twitter, right? So think about that for a second.
How many people have his contact? How many times have we had data breaches of contact information, all the contact lists out there?
Is that it? Is it a data breach? Is it like his LinkedIn account was compromised?
Who knows? But it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I'm sure my cell phone number's out there, and it's like, nobody needs my cell phone number.
If anyone would like to tweet as Jeff Weston, just check the data banks on the black web.
Go to the dark web.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate that it happened, but at the same time, I'm going, at least it wasn't a security breach. It wasn't something that sure. rocks the foundation of Twitter where people are like, oh my gosh!
But doesn't it, right. I mean, doesn't it bring us back to, okay, SIM swapping is a very serious issue.
Yeah.
And we talked about, you remember the conversation, you mentioned it.
Yes.
Yeah, AT&T, where somebody walked in, so a hacker, or we used to call them frackers. So yeah. Do you remember back in the day when we were frackers, where we would send a post, a piece of mail, a piece of postage to somebody, mm-hmm. but we would put their address in the from address and then not include postage.
Yep.
So then, of course, the post office would then send it back to who it was from because there was yes. insufficient postage.
Right.
But the from was actually the person we're sending it to.
And
that is what we called fracking. And you know, that happened with payphones, where we right. had devices that you could make a certain tone and make your phone calls for free at a payphone. Like, that was fracking. So now, is this the modern equivalent of fracking, where we can walk into AT&T and say, my name's Sasha Rickman, and my phone number is such and such.
Right.
And I lost my phone, so I need you to
give me
a new SIM. Right? So then this new SIM card now goes in my phone, and now I can dial, I can authenticate, I can two-factor authenticate against Sasha's accounts.
Yep.
Because yes. I am her phone number, so I can receive SMS.
Right.
That's some scary stuff. Think about that as you think about what kind of two-factor authentication you have on your accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And then think somebody could do that. And it's only if the cell provider falls for that social engineering attack. But the fact is, we talked about AT&T, how they're not adequately training their mm-hmm. workers mm-hmm. to be prepared for social engineering.
So is there a benefit to having profile photos for customer service reps? For stuff like that. It's like, hey,
perhaps?
You've got a cell phone? By the way, we want to put a picture on file so nobody else can come in and say, I'm so and so.
Sure.
Like, but you know,
but like, how do you get away from that?
Like bank security. Maybe you should have to have your own personal PIN.
No, because I used to walk into the bank and withdraw money as my brother. I'm sorry, Brad.
I know. I worked at a bank and, oh my goodness.
It's all I needed to do. Are you guys twins?
No.
No, that's you just know
thing.
The personal
as long as you know enough to be able to answer those security questions, you can do it.
Right, but okay,
that's
so
the
since
thing.
Then, since that point, now you bring in your card, you put it into the reader, and you pop in the PIN.
Yeah.
That's a little bit better.
Mm. But it can all be compromised. So do we almost need, and this is a rhetorical, but do we need two-factor authentication on our two-factor authentication? Do we need to have thumbprints in order to authenticate against our two-factor authentication?
Right.
Do we need to have that added feature of, okay, well, your phone, okay, you lost your SIM? No problem. Your phone was set up with fingerprint identification. Can we have your fingerprint, please? Ooh. Right? Like, can that be?
But you can,
it's very rhetorical because the tech
fingerprints.
But I would if I lost my SIM.
Right.
And if a hacker came in and said, I'm Robbie Ferguson and I need a new SIM for my phone.
Yeah.
Well, if they don't have my fingerprint, wouldn't I like that peace of mind to know that they cannot regenerate a new SIM card?
I just wonder if what we're dealing with at that point is people's heightened level of suspicion where they're like, oh, I'm not giving my fingerprints to AT&T. Who knows what they're going to do with it?
But right? also,
but I understand
sure.
that would work as a security measure.
But there's also that flip side of that, Sasha, and I know you want to move on. That's my way of saying I want to move on. There's that flip side of it that says, well, if I am providing my identification, well, they can't authenticate as me.
Right.
I don't want them to be able to authenticate as me, and if they do, I don't want them to be able to compromise my accounts.
Mm-hmm. Is the information you're providing to AT&T being stored properly and in a secure
That's
it. Way?
You That's just the don't thing. Know.
Yeah, exactly. I just...
So many questions,
you know,
not enough answers.
I mean, even in this scenario, it still comes down to human error.
We are not
somebody. Okay,
scroll.
that's what I kind of felt like I wanted to
yes.
touch on. Thank you, Jeff.
We're not going to solve this in just.
Is that it?
We can't fix. If we fix human error right here on the show,
we could
I want
do
a paycheck.
So as long as the cell phone provider, I think this is where Jeff would go with this, right? as long as the cell phone provider gives their staff the capability, the authority to be able to SIM swap,
yep,
we have a security breach, yes, possibility.
Always.
Okay. So when we think about that, so as long as that is...
I'm not saying switch to robot customer service reps.
No, but if those staff members that are working in a mall kiosk have the capability to SIM swap Sasha's phone to me...
For minimum wage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a problem with that. It's not an education thing, but maybe it's what level of security should certain levels of staff have. Maybe is that the issue.
And what level of accountability? Because, I mean...
Well, there is none. When you're a minimum wage,
exactly.
I mean... Oh, sorry.
Like, oh, well.
You know... Fire me, I'll move on to the next kiosk, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay, so speaking of moving on.
Sorry, Sasha. Sorry about that.
Microsoft has announced that it's bringing its XFAT file system support to the Linux kernel and licensing the contributed code under GPL version 2. Microsoft's XFAT file system is prevalent throughout a lot of modern technology, regardless of whether you or your device use the Windows operating system. This simple but proprietary and patented file system was created by Microsoft for use primarily in flash memory products back in 2006. Since then, the format has seen colossal adoption throughout the electronics industry, with USB drivers, SD cards, digital cameras, and MP3 players among the many, many devices that make use of it. However, to use the file system means paying Microsoft a fee until now. It's long been possible to read, write, manage, edit, resize, and format XFAT partitions and file systems on Linux distros thanks to source efforts like the Fuse-based XFAT. But patent issues have prevented these workaround solutions from shipping as part of the regular Linux kernel, out of the box, ready to go. But now Microsoft is lifting the restrictions and releasing the code that will allow XFAT to be included in the kernel with no fees and nobody getting sued.
Okay, I love this. You know why?
Why?
My video recorder for screencasting doesn't support XFAT for this very reason, because of the patents.
Right.
So now we're going to see a transition in the technology that says, okay, well, now that it's freely available on the Linux kernel, and most of these devices, let's be honest, are powered by Linux.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We may not realize, even if you're a Windows user, you may not realize that your phone and many of your devices in your household are Linux-based. So this now says, okay, well, that recorder that records to my disk USB flash drive when I do screencasts can support XFAT?
Yep.
For free?
Yep.
Yes.
That opens up a whole new world.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Windows.
Microsoft is finally supporting the open source. I wondered how this was going to go, because Microsoft professed several years ago, we had this discussion about how they were going to be becoming more and more open source centric.
Yes,
well, they very did
say they're the ones that bought GitHub, right?
They did.
So, yes. I mean, it would be difficult for them to say, we've got GitHub, but we're not in favor of open source.
Turn it all off. Password protect the whole thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, which is an interesting purchase in and of itself. But now they have access to the world's source code.
Yes.
In such a way that, you know, they can adopt that into their own code base.
That was it was a smart move for them.
Sure.
And
sure
so it was this. So
yes.
That's right.
The rash of ransomware infiltration continues with 13 new victims, most of them schools. Yes, that's right. As investigations into the recent coordinated ransomware attack against local governments in Texas continues, 13 new victims of ransomware attacks have been publicly identified. Besides schools, the victims also include an Indiana county, a hospice in California, a newspaper in Waterton, New York. The ransomware involved in the Texas attacks, which hit 22 local-level government entities, has not yet been identified. Multiple sources have suggested that the Texas attacker gained access through a managed service provider that the local governments had all in common, but that has not yet been confirmed by state officials. In the case of this latest batch of attacks, Ryuk ransomware has been identified as the malware used on at least three occasions. students. The Rockville Center School District initially received a ransom demand of $176,000. The district's insurance company negotiated with the ransomware operator, reducing the payout to $88,000, and the school district paid a deductible of $10,000. There's no word on whether other victims have paid the ransom yet. As new attacks become public, it's worth remembering the fallout from such attacks can add up quickly in terms of dollars and requires a lengthy recovery period. The leadership of Baltimore City, hit by a ransom attack in May, recently announced that $6 million of the money needed to cover the city's more than $10 million ransomware cleanup operation would be pulled from funds earmarked for upkeep of city parks and public facilities. So far, the Robinhood ransomware cost the city over $8 million in lost revenue and interest on deferred revenue. Baltimore has also been considering a contract for $20 million of cyber liability insurance plan.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
What? Okay.
Are you angry, Jeff? Are you angry, Baltimore residents?
What bothers me...
Take your kids to the park, and as the swing hangs from one chain, ask yourself, was this worth it?
Like, I mean, the whole story just kind of grinds my gears, but mm-hmm. that last little statement that they're thinking of buying $20 million in cybersecurity insurance.
How about
IT
a backup?
Staff... And proper backups and everything, could 20 million get them? Like, this is where I want to throw my pen and walk off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what?
See you, Jeff. Have a great night. Baltimore, look at what you've done. We've lost a great co-host.
I can't say enough. Okay. All y'all just need to watch the show. Why are you doing these things in such a way that will affect, like, not only you and the services, but then the people beyond? A hospice? Like, a hospice now.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, these aren't targeted attacks, but it blows my mind.
We'll call them targeted. They will.
Right.
Then when they get the FBI involved and the insurance companies, they'll call it targeted.
But I think to myself, like, schools...
It's stupidity is what it is.
Yeah. Oh. Anyway.
What really jabs my butt about this, Jeff, is it seems apparent. I mean, if I'm going to pay $88,000 to a ransomware individual or group... So this is a group that just simply installed a program that encrypted their files. If I'm going to pay $88,000, how much do you want to bet I didn't spend $5,000 on my backup that year?
Yep.
Right.
Okay? So think about that. These are the very folks that are running our government.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a really serious misallocation of tax dollars.
But again, going back to news stories just a few minutes ago, that's human error. Like, I feel like when it comes to proper IT support and cybersecurity and malware protection and everything in between, there's that element of, you just didn't do it. Come on.
And it's tough. I'm not going to come down hard on the IT folks because I'm in IT and I know.
Right, but they've got a budget line.
No, but they also can only make recommendations, Jeff.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
No, and it takes going through bureaucracy through multiple levels in order to get approval for something that we're stressing needs to happen now.
Mm-hmm. Like 10 years ago now.
Yeah. Wake up, people.
So when they pay the ransom, they're still at risk for future attacks.
Oh, sure they are.
Completely.
Did we inoculate the issue?
No.
Did we patch the systems with that fee? No. The IT crew still has to take care of the cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
Still has to, what are we going to do, pay $88,000 and trust the hackers not to hack again?
Right.
No, the back doors are still there.
Exactly.
At that point. All they've done is given you a key for $88,000. Here's your decryption key.
And
256 bits of text.
More.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, of course it does. Yeah, these aren't our average. And the sad thing is, I'll say it's not your normal good guy, but sad thing is, a lot of cases, these are teenage kids that just simply don't know any better, and they just made $88,000 off the government, and they're thinking, oh my gosh, payload.
Yeah, doing that
I figured out a way to make tons of cash. And then they'll go to jail eventually when they're 26 years old and find themselves at the mercy of the government and not understand. Well,
they don't understand the lives they affected.
Yeah. And it's not fair to them. It's not fair. Like, kids growing up, and when I was a kid, I was a hacker and I was doing malicious things, but not anything damaging. I didn't ever do anything that couldn't be undone, and I didn't charge anyone a fee to undo it, but I still had to have a stern talking to. Oh, sure. I had to have a stern talking to at school. And as kids are growing up now, I mean, they're way more advanced than I was in my age because technology is there from the moment they're born.
Right.
So this is a dangerous thing that they're setting by, hey, let's pay $88,000. No. Pay your IT department to give you proper backups. Proper encryption. Turn off RDP, you idiots. Lock down your firewalls.
Right.
Yeah. Comment below. Like, just comment.
And guess
below.
What? We have more news.
Oh, do we?
We do.
Please tell me it's good news, Sasha. Yeah.
A watchdog has penalized a local authority for trialing facial recognition on high school students in Sweden to keep track of attendance. The Swedish Data Protection Authority, or DPA, fined the Skellefteå municipality the equivalent of about $20,000 U.S. for ignoring a privacy law. The trial involved tracking 22 students over 3 weeks and detecting when each pupil entered a classroom. This is the first time that Sweden has ever issued a fine under the GDPR. The General Data Protection Regulation, which came into force last year, classes facial images and other biometric information as being a special category of data with added restrictions on its use. The DPA indicated that the fine would have been bigger had the trial been longer. According to technology magazine Computer Sweden, Swedish authorities decided to investigate after reading media reports of Anderstorp High School's trial. The local authority told the Swedish state broadcaster SVT Nyheter in February that teachers had been spending 17,000 hours a year reporting attendance, and the authority had decided to see whether facial recognition technology could speed up the process. The trial, which took place in autumn of 2018, had been so successful that the local authority was considering extending it. Although the school secured parents' consent to monitor the students, the regulator did not feel that it was legally adequate reason to collect such sensitive personal data. It said that there was a less intrusive ways that their attendance could have been detected without involving a camera surveillance. As a result, the DPA found that Skellefteå's local authority had unlawfully possessed sensitive biometric data and failed to complete an adequate impact assessment, which would have included consulting the regulator and gaining prior approval before starting the trial.
Okay, so they're not saying they can't do it. They're saying that they didn't get the proper
okay.
Well, that was part of it. Like, that's some of the stuff they could have done. But, like, why not just go to the good old try-and-true system of swipe cards or RFID, like
it can always be but I mean, forged, like, right?
No, fair enough. But I mean, I've got one of these, and if it was a
matter, but I'll take yours and pretend that you were at school today.
Sure, fair enough.
Scan everybody.
So there's going to be some manipulation, but at least they're not causing problems. I mean, if my school said, or my kid's school sent home a letter that says we're going to be using facial recognition to track your kid's attendance,
yeah,
I'd probably blow a gasket.
You don't say. So yeah.
How much does a teacher make these days?
Not very much.
70-ish? I don't know.
Well, let's say by the hour. Let's look at the hourly. Teachers?
26.
26 bucks an hour?
More?
No, it's got to be more than that.
32?
Well, they have
$37 an hour. I will give you the job for 37 bucks an hour.
They have 8 weeks unpaid in the year that I'm counting.
Oh my gosh, we're getting too technical.
Okay. How much do you think they make? They don't make a lot of money.
Teachers. Comment below. How much should you make and how much do you make an hour? Let's just say, can we say $28 an hour?
Yes.
Just
as a, that's low,
as a base rate for somebody starting out. And if you get paid less than that, you need to talk to your employer.
Right.
17,000 hours at $28 per hour is $476,000 U.S.
Yeah.
Wow. At $28 an hour. So you're telling me, oh, they probably get paid more than that.
Right.
So with the amount of time that these teachers are spending simply saying, hey, Jeff, are you here? Hey, Jeff. Hey, Jeff, are you here?
Bueller?
Come on, answer me, dude.
Why?
See, facial recognition would have been a lot quicker.
Yeah.
Would have saved me time and would have saved my school board and my tax-paying citizens $500,000 U.S. dollars this year. So think about that in comparison with the privacy issue of parents who say, like you say, I have a problem with a computer knowing that my kid is at school.
Yep.
But the computer knows anyways whether my teacher tells the computer or not.
Mm-hmm.
I still think there's other ways rather than having to go with facial recognition.
But hear me, Jeff. The computer,
I just don't
the computer knows anyways. As soon as the teacher says, yeah, Jeff finally answered the question, I just made another $500,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I checked the box and I sent it to the computer, and now the computer knows that you're there anyways.
Right, so the automated calling system can call home if you are
exactly.
There.
That's exactly how it works. At the end of the day, sorry, Jeff was truant.
Okay, so now you've got
you heard that way too many
records.
Times.
Actually, you never.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring that back to you, parents. If your parents are watching, that just really brought them back to.
But I mean, like, how many times? Like, so you're twins. Twins go to the same school.
Yeah, like, okay, there's fair enough.
With it,
there will be issues. Sure, there are.
Like, there's identity challenges.
But that happened. Admit it. That's happening anyways with the teachers.
Sure.
Have you never?
Oh, again, my twin sisters.
Another
did it.
Story.
Yes.
They
exactly.
had identification bracelets that they swapped
sure.
with me just to be each other.
Absolutely, they did. They changed outfits.
They're identical twins. So
guaranteed.
One had one that said Beth, and one had one that said Colleen.
You know what's funny? Well. I've yet to meet a set of identical twins that don't in some way look different.
Well,
yeah, but you
they
have
look
to
different
know
now,
them.
But when they're like 4 years old,
sure,
yeah. right? They look mm-hmm. pretty similar.
I still think this is. Bad idea.
I
know that the world is going that way. So like,
well, that's
I'm
it
not
too,
a nation.
Jeff.
Like, I get that it's going that way. I mean, how long have we had facial recognition in casinos? Like, I get it.
Yeah.
But the difference is we're talking adults versus children.
But the adults.
Okay,
were
that's
asked.
Fair.
Like,
there was consent given. There was parental consent.
I don't care though. It's the fact that a parent can make an improper decision with the information that has been supplied about their child. Like, I struggle with it.
I understand that. But I still feel that we as a society have to move on from our old ways in that I still believe that whether it's a human mm-hmm. that says, Sasha's in class today,
right.
or a computer that says, Sasha's in class today, the same algorithms, the same systems are in place to notify mom and dad whether you were truant or not. It's still the same system. It's just a different detection mechanism that can save our taxpaying citizens $500,000 a year.
Are fingerprints as precious as facial recognition?
Probably.
I would say they're the same.
Scan your fingerprint?
Scan a finger
sure.
and put in a code?
Maybe that's the answer?
Right.
Is that
still
fair?
In the same
parents,
category
what do you
as
think?
Far as the biometric...
Yeah, it probably is.
I've worked at places where you put your whole hand on the reader and then you clock in your own code.
That'd be awesome.
Hand
you're an adult.
My kids, if my kids get that in their school, I'm sending them to school in suits with sunglasses. I'm dead serious.
But then they wouldn't have fingerprints.
Oh, yes. Right, Men in Black. Nice. Nicely played, sir. Okay, let's take a quick look at the cryptocurrency market. Now, there is one coin that has been holding so steady over the past several weeks, and it's just mind-boggling how it can be holding so steady. No, it's not. Facebook Libra is still trading at $0 because it's not even trading yet.
Yeah, but
we're
it's
still
be,
waiting for it.
It's going to be a positive week.
We've Jeff, won. Sasha made that comment last week.
I'm so
Facebook
excited.
Libra, when it hits,
going
it's
up.
Going up. You know it's going up because right now it's a 0.00 fiat.
That's the one I don't want to
Bitcoin. And I saw a kiosk, an ATM that allows me to buy.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, good.
I walked, but not in the mall. I walked into a convenience store.
It was,
And I said, Bitcoin ATM? And the guy looked at me and he said, yep. I bought this store because I bought a single Bitcoin when they were down. And I sold it when they were up. And now I own this convenience store.
How much did it cost you? One.
Yeah, nothing. Like virtually nothing. So this gentleman bought this convenience store that I'm standing in. And so by his own like realization that, hey, this is where the future is, he has an ATM in the convenience store that only sells
There's a bunch of them in Toronto.
Yeah, Bitcoin. That's so cool. Yeah. I love it.
So neat. So we're going to take a look at that. I'm going to go in with my inconspicuous filming glasses or something.
Check your balance.
And take a look at that. I don't really know how it works yet, Jeff.
Okay.
But we're going to take a look. Bitcoin is up. Well, kind of back up where it was a couple of weeks ago, but at $10,615.93, gaining $939.65 US over the past week. Litecoin is holding pretty steady at $67.59 fiat USD. Ethereum is at $175.70, and things are really holding about where they were last week. Monero at $72.47. I mean, the difference is only 34 cents. It's not really anything significant unless you own a lot of them. Scala, which is Torque, which is Stellite, is at 0.66 ten-thousandths of a cent. So it's on its way back up to where it was. It was doing quite well as
Why the name
Torque? Torque.
I think patents and trademarks and...
They forgot to check whether anybody else had it.
Whoops.
That's going to hurt the coin, I think.
It really did. It dropped. It dropped last week, Jeff, down to 0.45 ten-thousandths of a cent, but it went back up again to 0.66 this week. So it's working its way back up, and it's already exceeded and, in fact, doubled that of the Turtle coin. Turtle coin is pretty steady. I mean, it did lose. It's the only loser this week at 0.39 ten-thousandths of a cent. But again, I mean, Scala and Turtle coin are both micro coins. So if you want to get involved in cryptocurrency mining, it's a great way to get involved because it doesn't really cost you anything.
I do it on a Pi.
You do it on a Raspberry Pi at like 9 hashes a second. But yeah. I mean, you still are building up your Turtle coin, right? So it happens. And so that's the way to do it. But do remember, if you are going to crypto mine or if you're going to purchase, I mean, we talk about this ATM at the convenience store. If you're going to buy Bitcoin or you're going to invest in cryptocurrency, remember that the market never closes and it's always volatile. So it's always changing. You can go to bed at night thinking, oh, I'm doing really good. Bitcoin's up. And the next day it is down.
That's right.
Because it never, ever closes. It's not like your stock exchange, folks. So be mindful that, you know, our recommendation here at Category 5 Technology TV is to only invest, only spend what you can afford to lose.
Yes.
That's the only way to play.
Yeah. Yeah, invest the money you don't want any longer.
Yeah. Basically, you're just throwing it in the wind, folks.
Or just give it to us. We'll take it.
Yeah, you can give it to us. That's fine, too. We should add that. Should we add that to the cryptocurrency report?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, or make a note.
Yeah, okay. Yes. Remember, children, the cryptocurrency market never closes. It's always volatile, and you can donate to us instead.
That's right.
Big thanks to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Rickman.
And I'm Robbie Ferguson.
And I'm Jeff Weston.